Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Krista Rippens, who's a teacher of Pilates, yoga, and imagery. Welcome, Krista.
Hi, Michael.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. How about yourself?
Great. It's great to have you on the air with us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Great. You know, I was thinking it's exciting to have imagery and Pilates and yoga together.
It is. To me, imagery is like the practice that we all do. It's the underlying, it's the method that underlies all methods. It's a way of understanding the body, like the practice is a way of understanding life.
Great. Yeah, it's all fascinating. And I understand you're going to tell us about that and also about the anatomy of breathing today.
Right. This is coming up Saturday, the 9th, I believe. We're going to have an anatomy of breathing workshop at the Palo Alto Zen Center. And the full title of the workshop is called Release Stress with Anatomy of Breathing. But recently I was thinking it ought to be called Release Your Karma with Anatomy of Breathing.
Release Your Karma.
Yes, because our karma and our view of life and ourselves is held in place by the breath and how we breathe. And when we change that, our view of life changes. But in yoga, we're taught things to do with the breath. And in meditation, we're taught to follow the breath and discover it.
Uh-huh.
And what the workshop will be is developing a picture of what goes on in the body when we breathe. What breathes? What is the breathing muscle? What moves when we breathe? What happens? And when we can get a sense of that, the breathing deepens without effort.
Oh, wow.
So
that's great.
We say in the Franklin Method of Imagery, which is the system of imagery that I teach, that awareness improves function. So awareness, say, of how the diaphragm works improves the function of the diaphragm and the breath deepens, or aware of how the lungs move with each inhalation and exhalation deepens the breath without effort.
Yes, it's fascinating. So simply being...
It is, in the same way, and to me, the way that it relates to the practice is in the same way that understanding subpersonalities provides a sense of freedom in our lives. And the more we become aware of how that works and we can see it working, the easier life is.
Indeed. Absolutely.
And it is the same with the imagery for the body.
Yes.
Awareness improves function in all
awareness
ways.
Awareness improves function.
Yep.
Whether it's the body or the mind or life or
everything. So I was thinking if we could have, I know we have a very short amount of time, but maybe we could do a teeny little imagery as part of this talk.
I know it would be helpful for me.
Great. So normally in the workshop, of course, I have all sorts of props that I use to help people get a picture of what's going on inside. And we don't have that because this is the telephone. But let's just do the breath, the stream of breath, going in and out through your nostrils, down into your lungs. So do you picture the breath coming into your nostrils and lungs in a stream of air, in streams of air, or in a spiral? So everybody who's listening, try that for 3 or 4 breaths, first with streams and then with spiral, and just sense the difference of each picture. Of each image. Funny, there's not very often silence on the radio. We are being silent. And so now, whichever one you did before, if you started with streams of air, then now change it to spirals of air. Now, I'll give you a hint about the spirals. You want to picture the spirals rotating out toward the outside of your body on both sides. So they're not parallel spirals. They would be opposing spirals, either rotating to the outside or rotating toward the center of your body, say toward your nose or your sternum. And is there a difference in how you feel when you change the image of the breath coming into your nose and your lungs in streams or the breath coming in spirals? Is there a difference for you, Michael?
Yeah, I noticed with the spirals, it seems like I was pulling in a deeper, longer breath.
Uh-huh, so spiraling made the breath feel easier with less effort.
Yes.
Okay, that's because the lungs actually spiral with the breath as we breathe.
Oh, my goodness.
And so if the air, everything in the body really spirals. Everything is rotating opposite of something else. The whole system is spiraling. And so if you picture the air spiraling in, you're closer to the actuality, and so that feels better. So that's how you can always tell how something works. You can picture it working one way and then picture it working the other way, and whichever way feels easier, that's closer to the reality of how it works.
Wow.
So going back to our spiral image then, now there's two ways that the spiral could go, because it goes one way on the inhalation and one way on the exhalation. So when you inhale, picture the spirals coming in, rotating to the outside of your body, like toward your shoulders, toward your arms, that way. And when you exhale, picture that the spiral rotates toward the center of your body, say rotating toward the center line of your body. So do that for 3 or 4 breaths, picturing the spiral going that way, externally rotating on the inhale and internally rotating on the exhale. And if this is a lot for you and you've never pictured this, you could just do one side. You don't need to do both sides at the time if it's easier to just learn one side. Because imagery is a practice like anything else. And now let's change it. And now you picture the spiral on the inhalation, the spiral coming in, and an internal rotation on the inhale and external rotation on the exhale. And what's the difference when you change the direction of the spiral like that?
It feels like the second one, the image doesn't match the anatomy.
Exactly. So it felt harder.
Yes.
Because
in some way,
the lungs rotate around toward the spine on the inhale, which means the breath is spiraling to the outside of the body on the inhale and spiraling to the inside of the body on the exhale. So you can just sit and picture that for a few moments and feel the effect. And there you are practicing physical imagery. It's also called experiential anatomy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's great. The place you started with was awareness improves function.
Right.
So if I'm aware of the way in which the lungs and the body naturally work, then there's a relaxation and it feels like almost a skill that comes as a result of that information.
That's correct. And also, because, you know, we are here on the radio show of the Zen practice, that tension has its own self-talk. And when you focus in this way, tension releases from your body, and relaxation has a different self-talk.
Oh.
And so you can feel the change in how the voices talk to you, as you notice what they're saying before, and then as you focus, and focus on the image and feel the effect of that image in your body, the voices will change.
Yes. It feels like there's a general calming and flowing effect.
Which is quite nice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Always helpful.
So that's what we'll be doing this Saturday at the Zen Center in Palo Alto. Only a bit more, since that was 5 minutes. And if you've never done imagery and that seemed really overwhelming, it will be much clearer on Saturday.
Great. So that's 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Correct.
This Saturday, May 9th. And there are details on the website, Living Compassion.
Details on the Living Compassion website, correct.
Fabulous. Krista, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Michael, thank you so much for having me. See you Saturday.
Okay. See you Saturday. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good evening and welcome to Open Air. It's my great privilege and pleasure to be joined tonight by Dave McKay, a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Michael.
How are you doing?
Well, probably better than I sound. I've been a little bit under the weather for the past 8 or 10 days.
Wow. Yeah, you sound pretty good.
Oh, do I? Oh, good. Well, today's the first day that I've really felt pretty close to being well, where I had kind of the, you know, energy moving around and stuff.
Yeah.
Up until now, it's been kind of hit and miss, but I think I'm on board here today.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah, it's great to have you here, and great to have an opportunity to come back to the present and practice.
Yeah, it is. I feel, it's funny, because I feel really sort of refreshed, I think, by my recent experience here being sick, because I was thinking about it today that, you know, it's a really unusual place to be sick at a Zen Buddhist monastery. And, you know, so I think what people do a lot of times, this is what I did. I don't know what other people do, but I think this is what I did before I came here is, you know, you get sick, and then what you do is you find somebody to go out and get you a big stack of videos and some pizza. And you just kind of survive it like that, you know, and basically
yes.
just distract yourself from the discomfort of the body until the body's well again. And, of course, you know, we don't do that here. So I spent the last, let's see, I started, it's been 8 or 9 days, the last that amount of time just kind of laying in my bed in my hermitage and just, you know, no distractions at all, just kind of laying there and breathing. It's interesting to listen to what Chris was saying about breathing. You know,
yes.
just breathing and being with myself and looking out the window and, you know, just watching the day go by.
Yeah.
And it was really profound in a way to have that kind of time and attention for oneself. So I'm just, even though, you know, when I started getting sick, I was really disappointed because it's, you know, I got lots of stuff that I wanted to be doing instead of being sick. But I don't know. I just feel like it was just such a gift, the whole thing, to be given that kind of time just for me and just to be able to take care of myself as I went through. So I was really
yeah.
appreciating it.
Yes. Yes, and I know for me it's a great privilege to have the practice in those experiences when there is nothing to do, and for me the voices are really kind of at me more, it seems like, and to have a practice that I can fall back on is really helpful.
Yeah, it's true, and also to have a supportive structure for that, you know, because in the world, I mean, it would have been very difficult for me to do that, probably darn near impossible, without kind of being forced to. You know, there's this, I was kind of chuckling about this over the course of the week. There, apparently in some Buddhist traditions, you know, in the East, you know, part of what they do is they shut people up in caves. And, you know, they'll bring them food every couple days, so often during the day. But otherwise, they're just kind of stuck in there completely by themselves on their own. And it's just really the same thing here. You know, I was down in my house for you know, for an entire week, I don't think I laid eyes on another person. What would happen, I'd be just laying there breathing, you know, sleeping some and in and out of sleep and breathing and watching the trees and watching the birds. And there was a turkey that went by one time. And every once in a while, there'd be like ducks or geese flying overhead and, you know, and lots of birds actually because it's springtime here, you know. So they were fun
yeah.
to watch. And then, you know, 3 times a day, one of the monks would come down there and bring me some food and ring a bell to tell me that the food was there. And then, you know, walk off. And then I'd get up and go out and get the food, eat it. I'd return the dishes outside and, you know, and so on. So it's like this, it's kind of like a modern-day version of those, you know, kind of the hardcore practices that people have done in the East for a long time.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I can picture it as you describe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so an experience maybe everyone ought to have at least once in their lifetime, I think.
Yes. Great. Dave, I wanted to mention also that Sherry really wanted to be here. And is disappointed that she couldn't. And as many people know, she's on retreat in North Carolina, and usually the phone line works there.
Yeah, I talked to her earlier today also, and she was really disappointed and wanted us to express, you know, her sincere regret that she couldn't be on the call with everybody today. But, you know, the mountains of North Carolina are the mountains of North Carolina, and every once in a while, things, you know, it's just not, you know, how we might want it to be. So, but they're having a great retreat, I think, and she's, you know, really looking forward to being back with people next week.
Yes, yes, great.
I wanted to mention, too, before we go on, just how much I enjoyed the conversation you just had with Krista also, Michael.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I really did. She's she's impressive to me. I don't know if other people have that also, but, you know, just so knowledgeable. And what I enjoy, you know, she's been around for a long time. The very first retreat I went to, Krista was there teaching yoga. And some of the things, I mean, that was a long time ago now, and some of the things that I most remember about that first retreat was being in that yoga class and just how helpful it was. Because, you know, a lot of times, and I've been to, you know, other kind of yoga classes, and I'm someone who loves yoga, and so that's really easy for me. But I think a lot of what people do is, you know, they provide an experience for people where they feel really good in the class, which is super.
Yes.
But Krista really takes it another level, I think. It's practice for her. It's another avenue into ending suffering.
Yes.
Different from the one that, the many actually that we normally use. And I find it to be really refreshing and really helpful also just to kind of be approaching, practice and taking care of the being and all of that from, you know, a completely different direction like that.
Yes. Yes. As you said that, I was thinking there's another facet of the jewel.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many jewels of practice.
Yeah,
and,
really.
Yeah. To me, what's so helpful about practice and with Krista also is being able to get a different perspective that seems bigger than perhaps what I can access in the moment.
Yeah, for sure. Well, which is the case, I think, with any teacher. Krista, as far as I can tell, is an expert in the area that she teaches. And, you know, just like Sherry is an expert in the area that she teaches. And, you know, that's why we go to teachers, is to access that larger point of view and to get some guidance in how to look inside in a way that is different from what we might be able to access on our own if we didn't have that kind of guidance. And it's interesting, you know, to talk about with Krista, to talk about looking inside, because you don't normally think of it that way with the body. You know, it's more outside with the body. But with Krista, it isn't. It's really inside. You know, that's what that imaging stuff is all about. It's really that phrase, awareness. How does it go?
Awareness improves function.
Awareness improves function. That, you know, in my experience of what she does, that really is what she's offering is an awareness practice, and it's bringing the attention inside the body to experience like how things work in there, in a way that normally we don't pay any attention to at all or take completely for granted. And bring it, just the simple act of bringing that awareness to the body, like you said a little while ago, you know, it helps us to disidentify, you know, it helps us to pull us out of the voices of conditioned mind. And, you know, that's where that, you know, kind of relaxation and that sense of peace and ease comes from.
Indeed. Indeed. That was my experience.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Dave, let me give out the phone number here.
Okay.
For callers, if you want to call in and join us today, it would be great to hear from you. Phone number is toll-free in North America, 888-4-SANGHA. And if you spell out SANGHA, you get 888-472-6442. Again, that's 888-472-6442. That'll get you into the TalkShoe system, and then you want to enter the call ID for open air, which is 15406, and followed by the pound sign, and that'll get you in the queue here. And, Dave, we have two callers here.
Okay, great.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
This is Jenny calling from Seattle.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
What's going on up there in Seattle?
Well, it feels like a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
I'm finishing grad school,
okay.
And I've been in school for 4 years, so I'm graduating in a couple months, or like 6 weeks.
Hallelujah, huh?
That's part of it, yes. And the other part of it is, there's lots of parts to it. So there's like the part of me that's totally relieved and excited. And then the part of me that's terrified to kind of reemerge in the world again.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And then the grief of kind of leaving what has been in. And so I guess the whole thing is kind of all of those different parts of me that I jump from like moment to moment during the day is just kind of difficult to stay kind of grounded. And
mm-hmm. How would you say that you're relating to all those different parts of you as they come up, or either that or to kind of the whole experience?
Well, some of the parts I like more than others.
Mm-hmm. For example, you might not like the one who's scared quite as much as the one who's really excited, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Or the one that's frustrated or,
mm-hmm.
or angry about things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like as much as, the one that's excited and optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of relating to the whole experience, I mean, there's a big part of me that just wants it to the transition to be over.
Right.
And just be settled again.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because how would you, if you were to pick a word to describe the whole experience, not from the point of view of one of these parts of you, but just the whole experience of, of a major change in your life and everything that's coming up in response to that. If you could, how would you describe that?
Probably kind of unsettling.
Unsettling. Mm-hmm. Any other words come to mind?
Anxiety.
Anxiety producing. Mm-hmm.
Some excitement.
I was wondering about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a place from which, just like everything else in life, conditioned mind is going to try to take this experience that you're going through and turn it into something that will keep you small and have you kind of trapped in the same dynamics that you've always kind of gone through, on little maybe subtle levels, make you feel deprived and upset about things and all kinds of stuff like that. And so, that's what conditioned mind is going to be up to. And so what it's going to try to do is to frame the whole experience within an idea that will keep it kind of along the track to suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that word unsettling. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is exciting, right? Because this is a big time. There is a lot to experience here right now. There's a lot to see, a lot to understand. There's big things opening up. You know what I mean?
Right. And I guess I find myself trying really hard to stay in that place
mm-hmm.
of excitement. And part of that is trying to find confidence and strength and.
Yeah, that doesn't really work though, does it?
It doesn't. It's kind of exhausting.
Oh God, yeah, that's the worst. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to be one of those parts of you that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're trying to be the excited one instead of maybe the anxious one or the frustrated one.
Right. So I can sense that there's and I oscillate a lot between that totally frightened and the excited and try to get myself to stay excited. And I can sense that there's that's not quite it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have you had any glimpses of what might actually be it, what the possibility is in this for you?
It's kind of, not really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure I have, but I can't bring up that feeling inside of me right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. What would it be like? You talk about trying to be a certain way,
mm-hmm.
trying to make yourself be confident or excited or something. What would it be like to go through this experience and not actually need to be in a certain way at all?
Well, okay, what comes up in my mind when you say that is that, if you don't try to do that, then you just turn into this frightened little being that stays small and needs so much reassurance and
mm-hmm.
won't put herself out there.
Right. Well, that's what conditioning says.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any experience that might suggest that actually might be not be true? Like, for example, as you've been going through this, do you ever maybe, you know, fail to be the person you need to be and you're still okay or something along those lines?
It's actually been something I've kind of been struggling with the past year of this program. Very rarely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are moments of it where I kind
of
let go.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's there is kind of not just someone trying to be confident and not just a little scared person, but there's something really real there, just me being me and doing what needs to be done.
Yeah, something real. Let me underline that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Something really, really real there, just you being you.
Mm-hmm.
That's really big, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, conditioning is going to, you know, this is, especially in my experience, especially in times of great change, and where there's a lot, not even necessarily if it's outward change, like you've got going on, but it could also be inward change, where you're just, you know, like in an inward kind of growth spurt of some kind, that those are the times that are the most threatening to conditioned mind, because it's very difficult. It's much more difficult for conditioning to hold on to the status quo when everything's changing all the time. Like you said at the beginning, you know, you said there's a part of you who says, "Gosh, I just wish this transition could be over so that I can be." And I can't actually remember what word you used, but something like comfortable again or settled again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course that's exactly what conditioning wants, because settled from conditioning's point of view is asleep, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not paying attention. Not, you know, having kind of the, you know, right now, it's easy to project. You've got lots of stuff open inside.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel
mm-hmm.
that? Do you ever feel that way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just wide open. And, you know, through those openings will come lots of insight, lots of experiences that will cause you to grow and to move into the next, you know, whoever you happen to be. Lots of joy. Also, lots of pain. You know, like
mm-hmm.
you're talking about the grief of leaving a situation that you've been in and perhaps the friends that are there or whatever you kind of enjoy about that. So everything will come through those openings. And to have those openings open and not be sort of manipulated and, let's see, how to say it, not be kind of put into some kind of meaning-filled box.
Mm.
To not have that go on is, you know, that's freedom. That's a person who is fully alive. And because your life circumstances right now, and for all of us, you know, when we're in these kind of situations, when the life circumstances cause all the doors to open, conditioning really has to kind of ratchet up a campaign to somehow keep it closed. Or even if it can't be keep it closed, which obviously it can't be keep it closed right now in your situation, to have everything come in with a tag that will help it to pass by and not really affect you. You know, like this is anxiety producing, something like that.
Yeah, there's a sense of like if I just knew it was all going to turn out okay,
mm-hmm.
then I could let go and let everything kind of come through that is coming through.
Yeah, and of course, everything will turn out okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's one of the hardest things in the world to remember. It's true. Now, things will not necessarily come out the way you want them to.
Mm.
Right? Which is,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what the real issue is, isn't it? You know, ego has an idea about the way things need to be. It wants things to be the way they need to be so you will continue to be controlled and have the life experience that it's sort of dictating for you. Yeah?
Right.
But there's another option there, and you know that's the thing that conditioning is trying to keep you know outside of your awareness.
Because I guess normally I think in my life that I have a certain path, and that you know if I do this and this and this, then it'll turn out how it needs to turn out, and everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the first situations I've been in where like I really can't see what the steps are and I can't see what the path is. Like I don't even have a concept of what
yeah.
the path is going to be.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's can be absolutely excruciating. And it's also, I mean, that's a really good thing. I don't know if you see that come from where you are, but, you know, what that means is you're being pushed so much that you're grasping at conditioned mind to attempt to survive this with your identity intact, you know, the way that you see yourself to be.
Right.
And it's just, you can't. It's just too big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's terrifying. You haven't, I don't know if you would go that far to say that, but a lot of people, I sure.
Yeah, I would use that word.
So it's terrifying for ego, because what's going to happen, I can guarantee you, what's going to happen is you're going to go through this and discover yourself to be someone who you've never met before.
Mm.
You know, in a good way, like a, it's not really a good, bad sort of a thing. You're going to find yourself to be bigger than you've ever known yourself to be before. Because that's what this sort of thing produces, these sort of changes in life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's possible to say something like, it's going to work out for the best, no matter what happens. You could even go through this and create something that from some point of view looks like like a colossal mistake,
uh-huh.
You know? And that will be the thing that's perfectly okay also.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
Kind of. I mean, I just need to listen to it again, I think. But, I mean, I've been in the space where I know that to be true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that, of course, you know, that brings up the practice part of it, because conditioning's got a lot at stake in this. Just for the reasons that we were talking about before, there's a lot of potential in this for you to discover yourself to be different from what ego says that you are, as one way to talk about it. And so there's just a lot at stake here. So it will be that kind of battle. And what helps me anyway, and this is the place that, you know, it starts to get really kind of religious, but there's a leap of faith here. And that really has to come with a lot of experience. And you have some experience of this, so that's good. You know, that when you let go, life will take care of you. You know, there is this place there that's not just pain-filled, inadequate, helpless. You know, that's what conditioning would try to get us to believe.
Yeah.
When we let go, that's where we'll end up. But what we find, actually, is when we let go, we end up in a place that's big. It's way bigger than something like anxiety or frustration or even excitement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the container that in which all those other kind of experiences are held inside us.
So, I guess, I mean, the question that's coming up is, like, how do you rest in that place without forcing myself to be in that place?
Yeah, that's the tricky part, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always the tricky part with awareness practices, you know, because we can talk about the kind of things you and I are talking about, and we can even sort of understand them intellectually, which I think you and I both do. But
mm-hmm.
actually, you know, you can't do what we're talking about.
Right.
You know, and that's what's so tricky about it. And that's the thing we all kind of have to learn is how can we allow this transformation to happen inside of us? And sometimes the way we learn is by getting in there and trying to make it happen over and over again until we just realize that it doesn't work, and we find that kind of letting go place.
Right.
It helps to have the faith, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, it helps to have an experience, and maybe this will be what will come out of this for you. I don't know, but to have the repeated experience that life will take care of us if we trust it.
Mm.
You know, we have to do our part. We have to, you know, pay attention to the best ability that we can, and have all the willingness that we can. That we can come up with, but life will absolutely take care of us. And the more we have those kind of experiences, the easier and easier it is to let go of the voices and all these survival systems and strategies and stuff that you're struggling with when we're faced with something that's going to take us out of our comfort zone like this.
Right.
Now, there is one little, you asked a minute ago about how, there is one little trick. It's interesting because it kind of goes back to Krista, and I don't know if you heard the very first part of the show. But, you know, Krista and the body work that she does, one way through something like this is to practice keeping your attention on the body.
Mm.
because that's really where, and it sounds odd, but that's really where all the information is, in a way.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because conditioning is, you know, the way conditioning works is it's going to try to pull you out of the moment into your mind, think about things, get, you know, scare you about things, and just basically, you know, try to talk you back into a corner where you'll, you know, sort of, even with these new circumstances, follow the same old program that you've always followed. But the body,
mm-hmm.
body won't go along with that. You know, the body is here in the moment. So that would be something you could try anyway, and you could practice with is, you know, see if you can, as you're walking down the street, feel your feet in your shoes and feel your clothes on your body and feel your breath coming in and out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that will bring you, just like in the exercise that Krista did at the beginning of the show, you know, that will bring you here. And, you know, the more that you're here, the more you'll see the truth that everything actually is okay. You're heading exactly where you need to go. There's nothing really to be afraid of because you're involved in this life that will absolutely take care of you.
Yeah, I've definitely sensed myself stepping out of myself to try to just get this over with
uh-huh.
and just be at the other side of it instead of...
Just survive it, get through. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead of just experiencing it and being in it.
Yep. And, you know, if that's what happens a lot of time, that's totally fine. It's a practice. You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
it's not a, there's no kind of standard we're trying to meet here. But you know that there's another possibility for whenever you have kind of the wherewithal to do it, to pull your attention out of the stories, whatever they might be that you're believing, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, come back here to now, to the moment, and to your body, and to your breath, and really kind of look from there to see what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Oh, thanks. I'll call back in a little while.
That would be great. That would be really fun to hear how it turned out.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, take care. Thank
take
you.
Care. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jenny. You're listening to Open Air. Today we have the privilege of being joined by Dave McKay, a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Dave, I found that really instructive for myself.
Oh, yeah? That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it is great, the whole process you were talking about. And for me, finding the willingness to let go, and as you talked about, having that experience of faith enough times that it becomes, you know, it becomes a real thing that I can lean on.
Yeah.
Gosh, in terms of letting
go. Life is so different, having that and not having that.
Yes.
You know, having that faith. It's funny because I think this is why it came up for me to talk about it, but I had an experience of this, exactly what we were talking about, for myself today, where it was just one of those, without getting into the content of it, where things lined up in a way that I didn't expect, and it's almost like you can sort of see the hand, you know, to talk about it in Christian terminology, it's kind of like you can see the hand of God in it, you know? You can see how, without making the belief system about it, but it's almost like there is this love that has me in the center of its attention and is directing this whole life that I'm leading so that I can to go where I need to go in this lifetime and experience the most love and peace and acceptance and however else you want to say that I possibly can. And it's one of the, you know, I can't really describe how I know that, but it happened and I was like, oh, of course, it has to be
right.
That way because this is where I'm going. And, you know, to have those kind of experiences over and over and over again, which I very much have, and as I'm sure you have, and, you know, it's a big part of the joy for me of practice. Like you say, it becomes something you can lean on, you can trust. And so when the voices come up to try to, you know, ruin our good time, we can know that there's another alternative there because we've experienced it. You know, we know that other place inside ourselves.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. The version that I've been experiencing is, you know, there's nothing new in this story.
Mm-hmm.
How long do I want to suffer over this?
Mm-hmm.
I've done it for a long, long time. I know it intimately well. I know that it's really awful. How long do I want to keep doing that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is it, what pulled you out of that finally?
just kind of seeing it phrased in that way is that I just don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's my life. I have no control. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I could worry about every little aspect of it, and I've done that. And it hasn't been helpful in any way that I can perceive.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, before you have an experience of the alternative that, you know, that comes with a practice of being in the moment and just trusting life in the way that we're talking about, you know, it makes sense to go with the story.
Yes.
Because what else have you got? You know?
Yes.
But then there's the time comes where, you know, there's an alternative. You've experienced it over and over and over again. Here's that same old story trying to lure you into the same old unhappy place that's been going on, you know, so many times. And then there's that choice point, like you say, and do I really want to do this again? Or do I want to trust that if I let this go, everything will be okay? And even better than okay, you know, everything actually will be what I want.
Great. Yeah. 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 Amazing. Thank you, Dave. Let's take a quick sponsor break here, and then we have three callers in the queue.
Okay, super.
The Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues. Good musicians and good friends coming together to make something really beautiful simply because we can. Zen Blues Music. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice, because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life, my life, what a life, what a life, what a life.
Please visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
I sure do love it, I sure.
Welcome back to Open Air. Dave, are you ready for the next caller?
Sure. And we might tell folks who joined late in the call that Sherry expresses her regret. She wasn't able to be here this evening because she's in North Carolina on retreat, and they just couldn't work out the technology to make it happen. And so she looks forward to seeing everybody next week.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tony from Athens.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Dave. Hey, Michael.
Hi.
This is my first time to call in.
Wow, congratulations.
I know. Well, because I wasn't able to go to the North Carolina retreat, I told myself this would be my gift to myself.
That's great. Well, you and I share something in that. I was actually supposed to be at the North Carolina retreat, and I got sick and couldn't go.
Well, we're here expressing
our mutual condolences to each other.
Yes, I hated to not be there too.
Oh, I bet you did.
But I wanted to say that I have continued doing the workshop on my own of writing down what the voices say and that what I need to hear instead.
Oh, neat. So
I'm on my second notebook.
Wow, that's great. Let me fill people in who might not know about that. We did a class,
okay.
I don't know how long ago it was now. We probably finished maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. We did a three-part class called What Are the Voices Saying Now? And that was kind of that was one of the assignments that sort of ran through the whole thing, is to write down what the voices are saying and what we want to hear instead.
Yes. And I just wanted to say it has been one of the greatest practice tools I've ever done.
That's neat. Well, tell me what's been going on with that.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed that I have a tendency, especially in my life here, not on retreat, I tend to just push the voices away. I just ignore them,
uh-huh.
Kind of.
Yep.
But then as the day goes on, there's this, you know, increasing anxiety.
Mm.
And then, you know, after hours of just trying to push the voices away, I'll, you know, find myself in a fairly anxious state and then kind of not knowing exactly why or how I got there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just even, you know, writing down what the voices say has been huge in being able to see them and notice them and then write them down. And just the act of doing that helps me be much more in the moment.
Yeah. Well, and that anxiety, boy, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, you're pushing them away, but they're not actually going away, are they?
No.
They don't.
They're back there working hard.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they don't take off quite so easy as that. So they're back there cooking up kind of different things, and you know, probably sooner or later that there's going to be something that'll come through you can't push away, and then that'll be it. You know, then there you'll go.
Yeah. And then they all come tumbling in.
Yep. Then there's a big opening there, and then you just get creamed.
Yeah. So it's been great. Like, I have this notebook. I just carry it with me, and then if I'm, maybe I can't do it at work, but then I have to go somewhere, I have one in my car, and so I'll just, like, you know, before I take off, write down a few things. And just that simple, just even if I can't even read what I've written, there's something about stopping and saying, okay, what are you saying right now? And
yeah.
Just acknowledging
that is,
it.
That is so great and so inspiring. It's about being aware of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really struck by how helpful just that really being aware of the voices on a real ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the element of, you know, so it's interesting to hear what you're saying, because I think this is the way it goes for a lot of people through practice and how it's gone for me. You know, in the beginning of practice, most people generally are not aware there is such a thing as, you know, a conditioned voice. You know, we're
mm-hmm.
just used to, you know, there's the conversation that's going on in mind, but that's just me thinking. And so first we have to kind of get at that, no, that's not me thinking. That is conditioned mind, you know, cooking up trouble, basically, as
mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, trying to use the circumstances of my life to cause me to suffer. And then I think what happens next for a lot of people is, you know, you get that, and then this kind of the first power that you discover is you can say no to the voices. Like you say, you can kind
mm-hmm.
of push them away. You know, just no, not right now. Get out of here. And that's great. I mean, that's a huge step forward. But then there's another step where, you know, we're practicing taking our attention away from those voices, but we have to kind of have some other place to put them, to put the attention. Or else
mm-hmm.
the attention is just going to kind of always come back to the voices in the story again. And that's what that other part of the assignment is about. You know, so
mm-hmm.
what do I need to hear instead? So you can actually take the attention away from the voices in the story that they're creating and put the attention on what will actually take care of you. You know, the loving, kind, compassionate things that you would actually, you know, that are there when the voices aren't there. So it's really
mm-hmm.
kind of parallel to what we were talking about earlier with the leap of faith, you know, to discover through experience that there is this other place inside that we can go that's full of love and full of kindness. And as we practice moving our attention there, we find out that it actually is more, way more real than the story is, and we can actually, you know, learn to have our attention reside there and not have to live in so much, you know, worry and fear and suffering all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's been really great to see that I'll do something and that conditioning and self-hate has a fit over, and then to be able to say, you know, I love you anyway. I mean, I'm not going to reject or abandon you, even if what you just, you know, whatever you just did.
Mm-hmm.
And just, and that keeps kind of saying that over and over and over and over.
Yep, that's it, isn't it? That's
yeah, it's yeah.
That's the key to a joyful life.
It's amazing things that I would never be able to find acceptable.
Mhm.
I just keep practicing accepting them.
Mhm. Mhm. And you, what happens over time as you do that? I'm curious. As you practice that.
Well, it's been a lot of interesting things. One is that I keep finding. I keep thinking I will have seen everything, but it seems kind of like endless. It just keeps, there keeps being more things that conditioning has something to say about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I keep thinking, my gosh, I've been doing this every day for weeks, you know. So it just keeps, you know, having something to say. And it's interesting how I feel like I'm getting a lot more freer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, you know, kind of not being as careful. I'm usually really try to be real careful about what I say.
Oh,
so I won't get the wrath of self-hate.
Yeah, so you won't get a beating later on for it.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's fun.
So,
you're allowing yourself to kind of... Sorry.
Just be... being more, a lot less inhibited.
Oh, that's super. Yeah, that's really fun. Now, you can take another level if you want to. It's, you probably know the things that conditioning would really get upset if you did. You might try doing a few of those on purpose.
Oh.
You ever thought about that? I mean, not necessarily
unsupported. I haven't gone that far yet.
Well, you might consider that. You know, we joke about that around here, you know, torturing conditioning. But you can do that, you know, and not on the level of, unless you just want to, you could do this too, but like doing things that are like really unskillful or something like that. But, you know, the thing that's going to upset conditioning the most is something that's really kind for you or that takes care of you or you really enjoy or something like that. So, you know, you might pick out something every day that conditioning thinks you really don't deserve or you don't have time for or you don't have the money for or something like that, and giving yourself a little, you know, a little something good, just to, partly because it's good to have those kind of things, and partly just to show that you're actually the boss here in this relationship.
Mm.
And you, when you really look to see, you are more powerful than conditioned mind is.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'll do that. That's especially to think of doing something kind for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And even calling into the radio show felt like a pretty big leap. So.
Yeah, I was wondering about that as I was saying that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like deciding to call in tonight came from a place like that?
Well, yeah, it was like, well, not trying, not so much. I do imagine conditioning, you know, usually has all, you know, I'll embarrass myself, I'll say something stupid, or, but the desire to really support myself, especially since I didn't get to go to North Carolina, to support myself and to continue this practice that I've of writing down that I really wanted to support myself in that. And I thought by calling in and talking about it to, you know, the whole world, that it would be a way to support me in continuing to do it.
Absolutely. And with something like that, you know, the more the voices kick and scream, the better off you are.
Mm.
You know, because it doesn't matter how loud they get. You know, they actually can't do anything. You know, you're the one who's in charge of your life. It doesn't seem like that when we're involved with conditioning. It seems like we're just kind of getting pushed around by all of the stuff that's going on and, you know, all of this is different junk that conditioning is throwing in our way. But when we step out of it in the way you're talking about, we see that, no, we are absolutely in charge. You know, there's no reason for us to suffer at all if we don't want to.
Well, that's great. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too, Toni.
Hey, I appreciate it.
I'm
see you later.
Okay, I'll see you later. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Toni. You're listening to Open Air. Today we have the great privilege of being joined by Dave McKay, monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Dave, we have another caller. Let me give out the phone number, and then we'll take a quick sponsor break, and then we'll get to that call.
Okay, super.
Phone number is toll-free in North America. That's 888-4-SANGHA. If you spell that out, that's 888-472-6442. That'll get you into the TalkShoe system, and then you'll enter the call ID, which is 15406#. And we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thank you.
welcome back to Open Air. Dave, I have to give a quick testimonial following on Tony about the class.
Oh, okay, great.
What you need to hear. So my apartment is plastered with what you need to hear. So I'm making my toast. What do you need to hear?
All right, all right. And
brushing my teeth. What do you need to hear?
Oh, that's great.
It's great.
What do you notice with that? Do you
it's just so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that external reminder that's just there in front of me, and by my general awareness and paying attention, I see it, and, you know, the answer is always immediately right there.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, I was thinking earlier today, what you said just reminded me of this, you know, this thing about the faith that we were talking about earlier and how kind life is and how much if we trust life, that it will take care of and all those things that we were talking about earlier. And the thing that makes it hard to remember that, I mean, I think we all know that. You know, we've all had experiences of just suddenly, for no reason, there you are, everything's wonderful, life is bliss, life is love, and you can just feel that, you know?
Yes.
But I think what makes it hard for us to remember that is the pain of life, you know? Because a big part of what life is all about, and this is, it seems to me anyway, that this is where life guides us is towards breaking through and letting go of this this tiny little ego that we're trapped in. And it's really painful to do that, excruciatingly painful a lot of times. And, you know, most people, I think I can say that, most people choose to not follow up with that, you know, not to break through and go to the places that are possible because the pain seems like it's so immense and we don't want to face that.
Yeah.
And so to have those kind of reminders around, it feels like we need that. You know, that's why we talk so much about, you know, getting the support of Sangha and going on workshops and retreats and listening to the radio show and all those kinds of things to get support as we go through that. The very difficult, a lot of times, just excruciating journey of waking up to who we are and growing into the person that is possible for us. We need a lot of love to make it through. And So that's just what I was thinking of. Is, you know, think about you brushing your teeth and, you know, what do you want to hear? And, you know, just that love is right there while you're doing that.
Yes, indeed. I think that's a great theme for the show. A lot of love.
A lot of love.
A lot of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it takes.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the beauties of it, the whole thing for me is the love is there. You know, it's not like it's something you have to acquire or deserve. You know, like meet comes some kind of standard, then you get love. That's what we were all taught when we were little. But that's not the way it is at all. It's absolutely there all the time. And if we can find the courage to say yes to it and to step into the place that it's calling us to, then we find out how true that is. You know, that it is there. You know, that love that we need in order to make it through this incredible life that we have is available to us.
Yes, that's the good news. And the other good news is that we have two more callers here.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. Hi, Dave. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I actually was just there, and I told someone inside of me that I would call.
Oh, good.
And I actually have been quite identified, but I'm happy to report that I'm not anymore.
That's great.
And
it's always good to kind of have the clouds part every once in a while, isn't it? And just
and it's been really fun to listen because a lot of what's been said is a lot of what helped me through.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the with Krista and the breathing, that has just been so helpful because when I sit in meditation, when I image that, the breathing, I immediately go out of my head and into my body, and it's such a wonderful tool.
It really is.
It's just a wonderful way to get there.
It really is. You know, we talk about practice in so many different ways, and we use so many different tools to try to, you know, take apart this thing that we call conditioned mind. But it's all really an aid of just that one simple movement, isn't it? You know,
mm-hmm.
just dropping what's going on in the head and coming back to the body. And that, you know, that imaging stuff and all the movement stuff really that Krista does, you know, provides a really accessible avenue to that.
Yes. Yeah. It just puts me with my breath. And anyway, it's a wonderful gift, and I'm very grateful for that teaching.
Yeah, me too.
And then since I've come home, I feel like when I was at the monastery, I really kind of honed my skills of being able to reflectively listen to aspects of my personality, I guess you'd say, my sub-personalities.
Yeah.
And that's been so helpful because, if I've learned that I can take an upset part of myself and just in listening and reflecting back, that part will completely be comforted, just
mm-hmm.
in that, completely
mm-hmm.
be comforted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a wonderful thing that I think I really practiced while I was there.
Yeah,
and
you really honed that ability.
Yeah, and I brought that home with me, and I, when I'd have an upset moment, I was able to say, okay, let's go talk. and it was just, boy, that's just such a wonderful tool.
Yeah, it so is. I couldn't agree more. For me, it's really at the center of my practice, I feel like, especially
yeah.
in times when times are difficult. I don't know what you find, but I find when I'm feeling good, I feel centered, I feel like I'm kind of moving with the flow of life. I don't really need to talk very much. You know, it's more just kind of just being as quiet as I possibly can to listen to, you know, the life that's around me. But then in times where there is difficulty, boy, is it good to have someone to talk to who understands and who wants me to move through it in a really kind, compassionate way.
Mm-hmm. Or just allowing that part to, you know, just being there in total acceptance of whatever that part has to say. There's something that happens in that space.
Yeah. And that's what the reflective
yeah.
listening does, doesn't it? It,
yeah.
it sort of gives you a way to practice that.
Yeah.
But not trying to change anything or make anybody feel better or anything like that, but just to provide a space for whatever this part of you, whatever's going on for this part of you, a space
yeah.
for that experience to be talked about. And then there's something about that that's really powerful for you.
Yeah. So I did that. I reflected those. I could find two parts of me that were having a hard time. But then things still persisted, and I thought, well, you know, what the heck is going on? And so I finally sat down and did a process map of the whole thing, and it was in that, because now my experience of sitting down and reflecting an aspect of subpersonality, that I don't necessarily hear conditioning in that. I just hear kind of somebody talking that's pretty innocent and just has
yep.
their own view of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily hear I don't get to hear the, like, why, you know, where's the conditioning in all this? What's really, you know, kind
yeah.
of driving
it's
this
like,
to keep this person upset?
Right. It's like you can, when you're doing that, you hear sort of the victim of the condition machine, but you don't really see the machine.
That's a really good way of saying that, yeah. And so I kept being so bothered because I would keep comforting myself and be okay, and then I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, why is this, what's going on? So finally I did a process map and of the whole thing, just,
uh-huh.
you know. And it was in that that I could see, I could just see what was going on, and I think that was the thing that helped me just say, you know, I've been here before. This is looking really familiar,
yep.
you know, this process, and yep. that was the thing that really helped me sort of.
Yeah, it's kind of like you could see the whole system that part of you was
yeah.
fighting. Mm-hmm. And it's such an essential point you're making, I think, too, because to be able to provide that kind of space for a part of us is really wonderful. And, you know, it's really freeing because it gets us to a place of, you know, where we're centered. And then to get it from there, that there's a, that place is not necessarily just passive. It's actually, it's an, also an active place. Because ultimately, of course, what we're going to need to do is save that person from the suffering that they're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, actually break down the system that has got that person trapped and is taking that person, this inside person, to the same place of suffering over and over again.
Yes.
Which is what I think that you're talking about, is you decided to map it, and so you step back, and it's with that kind of compassion and awareness, applying that not just to that person, but to the whole conditioned system that person is trapped inside of, and seeing it for what it is, suddenly with that awareness, you have a power that is not available otherwise. You know, you can actually step in between that legitimate suffering part of you and the, you know, just the only image really I can think of right now is machine, but that really unkind force that is continually pulling that person back to the same place of suffering over and over again.
I think that describes it really well, actually. A machine would be a really good, that's a good description.
And
the machine involves a lot of the processes that I've always looked at, like trying to figure it out, and just voices of self-hate, and all those things were in there, just, you know, and it was really easy to see. But until I did that, I just couldn't quite put it all together.
Why what's going on is going on. And it's just really good to make to see that distinction between, you know, this part of you who's suffering and the force, which is not a part of you. It's not a person. It's more like an energy, you know, that has engulfed that part of you in the suffering that she's in and is, you know, making that happen over and over again.
And then I loved what was being said on this show tonight about writing down what the voices of conditioning say, and putting them on your, you know, on your walls. Not putting up the voices of conditioning, putting what you want to hear up. And so that's what I've been doing with my reassurance tape, and because I've seen subpersonalities that I've never seen so clearly, and it's been fun really speaking directly to each subpersonality and really giving them the reassurance that they need. And so what it reminds me of when you talk about putting it on the walls or writing it down is it's kind of like you just have that reassurance tape on the walls or in the notebook, or, you know, it's to me, it's all that same thing. It's just a great thing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an external way of creating the world that we're all looking for inside, I think, where we're living in a place of reassurances all the time.
Yeah.
Because you know very well that a big part of this machine that we're talking about is this thing that we call self-hatred.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the glue that holds it all together is, you know, we don't deserve the love that we're looking for. You know, we were talking about love earlier. You know, we don't deserve to have the compassionate attention or, you know, all these things that you've been practicing giving to these parts of you. And, you know, for most of us, you know, especially before practice, we live in a world that's dominated by self-hatred. I mean, it's kind of sad and really sort of scary, too, to think about that, but it's true.
Yeah.
But there's this other possibility that we gradually are moving towards through practice where we move from a world of self-hatred to a world that is filled with love and acceptance and encouragement and, you know, everything that we're really looking for. And so as it's a way to practice that, isn't it? It's just have it all over, all around your outside so that you can more and more have it on your inside.
Yeah. It's a good deal.
It really
so anyway,
is.
I want to give someone else a chance to talk, but I just want to say thank you for everything, and I'm just, I am still very much immersed in that most recent retreat that I've been to, and it's definitely stayed with me, and it just feels like it's just here, like something shifted and changed, and that I just came home with a lot, that I really did deepen my practice, and
wow.
I'm really, really grateful to everyone.
Yeah, that is so great to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much also for your practice.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks.
Take care, Karen.
Bye-bye. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. You're listening to Open Air. Dave, it's after 6 o'clock.
Yikes. You're right.
Yes, we had one more caller who dropped off, and I hope they will call us again early next week.
Okay, good. That would be good.
And I'd like to appreciate all of our callers, all of our listeners, and Dave, thank you for being here and sharing your practice with us.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thank you too, Michael. I know you do this week after week after week. I don't know how long you've been doing this now, but it's a heck of a long time, and you're really providing a good, a solid support for people, so hope you get included in that. Thank you too.
Great, great. Yes, it is a great privilege to be a part of all this. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks. Take care, Michael.
Yeah, you too. Good night.
Bye-bye.